Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This section regarding disliking, to ask a question in which there is no need for it, or just increasing plenty of questions in the same spirit. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, may Allah be pleased with him, via the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, among the Muslim, the great in sin, whosoever asks a question about something which is not forbidden, but due to his question, it became forbidden. Reported by Ahmad, Bukhari, in adhering to Quran and Sunnah, and Muslim in the virtue, and others reported it. So this is, we're talking about asking for no need. As for who has a need, he should ask. And the companion, may Allah be pleased with them, they ask Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has mentioned some of their question and they reply for it, as it will come in many of the prophetic sayings. Abi Musa al-Ash'ari, may Allah be pleased with him, said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about things he disliked. So when they continue increasing a lot of questioning, he became upset. And he said, okay, go ahead and ask. So a man stood and said, O Messenger of Allah, who is my father? He said, your father is Hudhaifah. Another man stood and said, O Messenger of Allah, who is my father? He said, your father, Salim Mawla Shaiba. So when Omar notes the anger in the face of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mighty, the glorified. Reported in Bukhari in the adhering section, and others, and reported Muslim in the section of virtue. And there are many other narrations. So this prophetic saying is regarding disliking this kind of question, in which has no great benefit. And also, it indicates to pay attention to the learned people, not to put them kind of in hot water or teasing them. So when our master Omar, may Allah be pleased with him, he notes that the Prophet became upset, he sat on his knee and he said, we are pleased with Allah for a Lord and with Islam for a religion, and was Muhammad as a messenger, as in another reportation. So the Prophet ﷺ became quiet. Indeed, when they did plenty of questions, he hated that till the anger appeared on his face. So Sayyidina Umar, to upheld the good manner, who is a rank of prophethood and honoring the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also feeling worry about the Muslims that they can be destroyed, that they cause the Prophet to be angry. Though he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whosoever like to ask me something, let him ask me. By Allah, you will not ask me about anything unless I will inform you in the reply in my standing here. Reported by a Muslim and other. Though they insisted and he exaggerated in the in types of questions. And the hadith will come again in the chapter on the section or the topic of explanation of Quran. The following section regarding or following report regarding disliking debating and arguing in the religion and involve indifferences. Abi Umama, may Allah be pleased with him, said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no group or no nation, they were guided, then they turn to be in error, except when they are given the debate. Then he recited, مَا ضَرَبُوهُ لَكَ إِلَّا جَدَلًا. They only struck this as for debate. Reported by Ahmad, Tirmizi in the explanation, Ibn Majah, Al-Hakim, and judge it to be also Hassan by Tirmizi and authentic, and Al-Hakim also judge it as authentic, and Al-Zahabi agreed with him. Al-Jadal is the strong enmity. And this make the people in error, they are in deep debate in the religion. And they are far from the guidance of Allah the Mighty, the Glorified. And plenty of hadith has been reported as such. Indeed, the most hated person to Allah, the one who is strong in debating, reported by the two Shaykh in Bukhari and Muslim. Another hadith, debating Quran is disbelief, reported by Dawood, Abu Dawood and others. And this will come again in its places, which is due in tafsir and so forth. Which, therefore, this hadith tell us that the people, if they step out of the methodology of Allah and they went away from the straight path in which they were guided, they will do this when they start getting busy with debate, in which Satan will tempt them and overtake them and decorate for them that twisted zigzag roads. وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال, I went early to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم one day, so I hear two people are differing in a verse. So the Messenger came out, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeing the anger in his face, and said, indeed, the people before you, they went on error when they differ in this book. Reported by Ahmad Muslim in the beginning of the knowledge of his sahih, of his reference of authentic. And also it will come in the version, in the section of destiny. So Hajjart means I went early, and the difference in verses is regarding destiny, as is reported in another reportation which made it clear via another chain, via Abdullah. He reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out upon his companion while they were arguing in the destiny. So he looked like as if red fruit was thrown in his face of anger. This fruit called arumman, I forgot the English name for it. So the Prophet ﷺ said, is with this you have been ordered, or were you created for this, that you strike the Quran part by the other? With such, the nation before you were destroyed, reported by Ahmad ibn Majah in authentic chain. The following section about the recompense of those who lie about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't lie about me, because whosoever lies about me, he enter hell. Reported by Taylisi wa Ahmad, al-Bukhari in the knowledge, and Muslim in the introduction, al-Tirmizi in knowledge, with production of Sheikh Talidi. Therefore, lying about the Prophet, it is one of the requirement which will lead somebody in hell, seek refuge of such. Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whosoever lie about me intentionally, let him be prepared for his seat in hell. Reported by Taylisi wa Ahmad in many places, in two places, and Bukhari and Muslim at Tirmizi. So be prepared to enter in hell, فليتبوأ. Let him enter hell. And تبوأ, المبوأ is the house. So it means as if this will be their house, as the person have a house in life, so their house at the day of judgment will be hell. And this hadith, as a previous, make it clear that it is forbidden to lie about the Prophet, and no difference in that between the scholars. Even it is one of the great sins that somebody intentionally, and even some ulama consider this to be disbelief. But if it happened an error, then this is not the case. This hadith came in tawatur rank, because it, as Hafiz ibn Hajar in his book Al-Fath, the explanation of Bukhari, he said it was reported authentically via 30 companions, and this make it like narration of delegation via delegation, and this make it that authentic of tawatur, collective reportation, as if a town tell a town, not one person from a town tell the other town. They call this tawatur. Al-Mughira, son of Shu'ba, may Allah be pleased with him, said by the Prophet, man, whosoever report hadith via me and he knows it is a lie, so he's considered one of the two lies then. Reported by a Muslim in his introduction, Tirmizi in the knowledge section, and Ibn Majah. So if a person reports a hadith and he guess even he is a liar, that this is a lie, he will be considered one of the two liars. Means he is participating in the lying on the Prophet and sin. So that those who speak and those who preach and deliver sermons, you have to be careful not to they have to be careful to examine what reputation they are telling people. Not just if some people say something you follow, you should verify and be sure that these are said by the Prophet ﷺ. And this book, which we are releasing it electronically, alhamdulillah, will give you all the reference you want about all the authentic hadith of the Prophet. So if something outside that, then it's going to be not in that height of authenticity, and maybe it is a false. I collected around 3,900 reportation, which is not authentic, and another reference I released in our site for those who like to check different reportation other than authentic. The next section is about to verify the obligation that you verify when it comes to the prophetic saying. Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمَعَ. It is sufficient for a person to be practicing lying if he just continuously reports everything he hears. Reported by Muslim in his introduction of his authentic collection, and also reported where the reportation is stopped by Ibn Umar wa Abi Sa'id. They call this mawquf. Mawquf means none of them said the Prophet said it, but they said it, and they usually will not say things about religion in nature unless it is from the Prophet ﷺ. But the scholar, they have terminology. If somebody doesn't say the Prophet said what he's saying, then they give it different ranking, different terminology. So they say mawquf, like stopped by him. And if he said the Prophet said, then they would say he raised it up to the Prophet. Like, okay? So the So, as if he's saying, like, if you will report everything you hear from people, for sure you will be saying some lies. Which means you have to verify. So the hadith is instructing us not to just report anything without verifying. And we have to differ between authentic and non-authentic. Especially when it comes to the reporting via the Prophet ﷺ. As for those who report everything they hear outside the hadith, for sure they will mix also between false and truth. The following section is about the hadith which reported to explain that the people of hadith, they have understanding of an ability of differing between what is authentic and what is not. Abi Humayd or Abi Asid radiallahu ta'ala anhumah said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you hear the prophetic saying via me, in which your heart knows it, and your hair and your skin soften when, and you see that this kind of statement near me, and that is this statement near you, it is close. So I am more responsible for it. But if you hear the hadith in which your hearts reject it, and your hair and skin stay away from it, and you feel this is so far away from you, so consider that I'm more far from it. Reported by Ahmad, by Ibn Hibban, with authentic chain, and was said in Majma' al-Zawaid that the chain of it are men of authenticity. So you know it means your chest accept it and bear witness it is fine. And it near you means near your understanding and near the regulation of your religion. And this hadith tell us that the people of hadith, Allah gave them the ability to differ between the authentic and others. And this is not but for those who are heart full of the light of faith and God-fearing, and that spend long time practicing the hadith, the honorable hadith statement of the Prophet. Therefore, his heart, it will have some reality of which other don't have. And he will have also the terminology. And this will tell us that the authentic hadith has signs, as it is known for the, not like the ones which are for the weak and the light statement. But even sometime they will found chain which you consider authentic, but the text is rejected, or some of the wording are weak, which is not the nature of the caliber and the eloquency of the Prophet. So it's not in keeping with the Prophet's style, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next section, by the way, at the Bagh was a great man of spirituality, of Ihsan and Sufi. He said when he looked at the hadith or hear hadith of the Prophet, he see light on it. He see light coming out of it. It's part of a light portion. And when he see hadith which is false, he see darkness on it. And we see the Quran, you see more light in it than the hadith. So this was nice from him to give us a step. The following, the adab of carrying the hadith and dictating it, like pronouncing it and dictating. Urwa ibn Zubayr, may Allah be pleased with him, said Abu Huraira sat next to Lady Aisha, may Allah be pleased with both of them, while she was praying. So he kept saying, oh, the lady of the room, he said it twice. Then she, after she finished her prayer, she said, don't you wonder about this and his statement? The Prophet ﷺ used to speak in a way, if anyone wants to count his words, he can count them. Reported by Muslim in Going Without, and Abu Dawud in the section of knowledge. The hadith telling us how the scholar of hadith and knowledgeable, when he delivers hadith, he has to be slow, not rushing in haste, not to speak very fast, because this will make the people who hear will miss a lot of the benefit. And nowadays, this is my my statement. Nowadays, you see people, they collect for one sheikh who come and read Bukhari al-Muslim so fast for them. So he can give this with like a paper statement of ijaza, together with some money, of course. And this isn't the proper way to study hadith or Islamic knowledge. It should be people come to the alim and they study portion at a time. And they do it for Allah's sake, not for exchange. Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that when he speaks with words, he repeat it 3 times till it is understood. And if he come upon people, he greet them 3 times. Reported by Bukhari in the knowledge and in the asking permission section, and Tirmizi in the good manner with the production of Sayyid Talidi. And this is are the manners of delivering the hadith. And this repeating here is not disliked in the educational arena. Via Lady Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she said, anytime she hears something she doesn't understand, she used to go back and ask till she understand it. Reported by Bukhari fil ilm, in the knowledge and in explanation and in the softening the heart. And this will come in details, inshallah. And understood from it that it is okay to question the scholar or the preacher when the student things are not clear for him or her. And nothing wrong with that. The following is about the section of that the young child or youth can bear the hadith of the Prophet, prophetic saying, when he's young. It's reported via Mahmud ibn al-Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I remember that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam threw once in my face some water after he drinking from a well with its cup. It was in our house and I was 5 years old. It means the Prophet put the mouth in, there was remaining water in his mouth, and he spilled it on him for barakah and also for playing with him. Report in Bukhari and the knowledge in abridgment way, and report in Salah and the softening the heart in details, and also reported by Muslim in the section regarding mosques, message. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to bless children, the children of Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them. And used to, and also we understand from it that children used to come and attend and they hear, so they can report it when they get older. When, if they can understand it in that little early age. And this hadith was used by a scholar to prove that the children, they can carry knowledge and it is, and they can report it. Samura, son of Jundub, said, I was in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a child. And I used to memorize. And what stopped me from speaking, that was only older people than me were in the sitting or in the meeting. And I buried them behind the Messenger of Allah on a funeral lady prayer. She passed away when she was giving birth. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he prayed on her, he stood in the middle of her body, meaning by her waist. Reported by Bukhari and Muslim and the rest of them in the funeral section. And it will come in Bukhari also, and also reported in Bukhari in the section of period, like the monthly circle of the ladies. So this is again to show that the young kid can bear the knowledge and report it, and also indicate the good manner of the student, that he doesn't speak when elder ones are available. The following section regarding writing down the prophetic saying, to write or not to write. But Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Don't write via me except the Quran." Another, he said, "Don't write, and whosoever write other than Quran, let him erase it. But you speak via me without limitation. And whosoever lie intentionally about me, let him enter his own seat in hell." Reported by Ahmad al-Darimi, a Muslim, in the Going Without. When Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said, "We asked the permission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to write," meaning his prophetic saying, "so he did not allow us." Reported in Tirmizi in the Knowledge, with the production of Sayyid Dalidi and Darimi, and this was an authentic chain. This hadith and the one before, they talking about the period where in the beginning when writing Quran and when during that time was forbidden to write other than Quran. And if somebody wrote other than Quran, it has to erase it then. This is in the beginning, till people became familiar with who's writing Quran, who's not, and familiar with the policy and the criteria and so forth, and also familiar with the Quran style of recitation, rules of enunciation and so forth. And of course, this is a very important policy. But Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, said, "I used to write everything I hear from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which I want to memorize. So Quraysh told me, 'Do you write everything? And the Messenger of Allah is human. He speaks when he's angry and when he's pleased.' So I stopped on writing. Then I went to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him. So he referred to his finger to his feet, and he said, 'Write. In whose hand my spirit, nothing come from it by except the truth.'" Reported by Ahmad, Abu Dawud in Knowledge, Al-Hakim, and it's sound chain. Al-Hakim and Al-Zahabi judge it to be truthful. So this is a permission to write other than Quran, meaning the prophetic saying. And this kind of permission will supersede the order to stop, not to, or to forbid writing other than Quran. But some of the early generation, accordingly, they have differing between disliking to write the hadith. Remember, those who the hadith is already the Prophet ordered to proclaim and narrate it via him. So the verbal is going on. And maybe these people who dislike to write, because they want to make people focus on memorizing it and teaching their children and so forth, by spending more time to memorize it by repeating and so forth. And this is another smart way too. So those who disliked writing will be like Qatada, Ibrahim al-Nakhai, Mujahid al-Shaabi, and Ibn Sirin. While others permitted and turned after that to be collective agreement, that it is likable to write it down. But also they went up to make it obligatory to protect the hadith of Prophet from getting wasted. Because it is part of protecting the religion, which is obligatory. And whatever is used to satisfy the obligatory become obligatory. And it's taken from this that the Prophet ﷺ, he doesn't speak but truth. And that he was wholly protected from pronouncing anything of falsehood or of desire, or which is useless, of anything which is useless, religious-wise. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Prophet ﷺ delivered a sermon, and he mentioned a story in his prophetic saying. So Abu Shah said, O Messenger of Allah, write these down for me. So the Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, write down Abu Shah. And this hadith have a story. Al-Bukhari reported it in pilgrimage and in a look and then picking up some belonging found in the streets, which not known its owner, in the limits of what's forbidden and so forth, and in knowledge. Also Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, both are in the section of knowledge. Ibn al-Athir in Jami' al-Usul, he reported it to Tirmidhi. Via Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said, none among the companion of the Prophet ﷺ is more than me in hadith reportation, except Ibn Amr, because he used to write and I don't. Reported by Abdul Razzaq, Al-Bukhari, Tirmidhi, three of them in the knowledge section of their collections. So that this hadith and the one before, talking about the permission to write down the hadith, Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar in Al-Fath said, when scholars were afraid of losing the knowledge, they write it down. And the first one to write down was Ibn Shahab al-Zuhri, around 100 years. With the order of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Then it increased together with writing. And many good have been due to that. And praise be to Allah. And in the section of knowledge in Bukhari, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz wrote to Abu Bakr ibn Hazm, look, whatever of the prophetic saying of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I write it down, because I'm afraid that the knowledge is appeared when the scholar pass away. And don't accept but the Messenger of Allah statement. Also reported by Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, in his book Al-Muwatta. Ibn Abd al-Razzaq was authentic chain via Ibn Shahab and Salih ibn Kisan. Also regarding the writing of the prophetic saying, you can refer to Musannaf Abd al-Razzaq. The section about when knowledge is raised up, means it's not with the people anymore. Anyway, and Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, and Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah does not extract the knowledge from people, but he, when he take away the ulama, the knowledge goes with them. Till there is no alim remain, so the people will take heads of ignorance. They've been asked and they will give verdicts without knowledge. So they err and lead people to error. Reported by Abdul Razzaq, Ahmad, Al-Talisi, Al-Humaydi, Al-Darimi, Al-Bukhari in the knowledge and in the adhering to Quran and Sunnah. And Muslim, Al-Tirmizi, both are in the section of knowledge. And this hadith has plenty of chains, as Hafiz ibn Hajar mentioned in the section of adhering to Quran hadith. So this hadith tell us that when knowledge are taken, means that it's going to be erased from the chest of people, but it means that the scholar, they pass away, so people take people who are not knowledgeable and they ask them for fatwa, verdict, so they give them without knowledge, so they err and lead them others to err, and they are followed in their shortcoming and wrong verdict. Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said, pay attention to knowledge before it goes away, and its going away is the going of its people. And he said, when a scholar pass in Islam, pass away, a hole happens and nothing will fill it as long as day and night continue. And was said to Sa'id ibn Jubayr, may Allah be pleased with him, what is the mark or the sign that people are destroyed? He said, if their ulama, knowledgeable people, are destroyed, meaning pass away. Ibn Uyayna, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, and what more punishment to the people of ignorance more than that one of the people of knowledge pass away? And there are many, many statements. You find it in the knowledge section of Ibn Abd al-Barr and the explanation of Sunnah by Baghawi and Miftah Dar al-Sa'da ibn al-Qayyim وغيرها. By Abi Darda, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, we were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he looked at the heaven for a while. Then he said, this is a time where the knowledge will be taken from people till they cannot hold any of it. So Ziyad ibn Labid al-Ansari, he said, how it is taken from them, and we are reading Al-Quran. By Allah, we are going to read it and let our children read it and our women. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is your mother lost you? I counted you from the jurists of Medina. Here is the Torah and Injil, the Bible, old and new Bible, with Jew and Christian. So what this today benefit them? Jubair said, I met Abu Ayd ibn Samit, may Allah be pleased with him. I asked him, didn't you hear what is your brother Abu Darda said? And I told him what he said. He replied, he said the truth. Abu Darda said the truth. And if you wish, I will recite for you of what is the first knowledge will be taken away. The first knowledge will be taken from people is humility. That you are about to enter the mosque, the grand mosque, the gathering mosque, and you cannot find a single humble person. Reported by Darimi, Tirmizi in Knowledge, and Al-Hakim, and its chain is fine, and Al-Hakim judge it sound, and Al-Zahabi agreed. The hadith is authentic, لغيرهi, relied on the third statement, because it has two supportive narration, one via Auf ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, reported by Ahmad and Ibn Hibban, Al-Hakim, and the sanad is authentic, and Al-Hakim and Al-Zahabi both authenticated it. And the other one via Ziyad ibn Labid, reported by Ahmad, Ta'alisi ibn Majah, and Al-Hakim. And again, the its chain of men are trustworthy. Though there is inqita', there is severity there, but doesn't harm. So, when is the hadith saying about it taking, the knowledge will taking quickly. So the hadith tell us that the knowledge will go away from people even when they have the Quran in the books or memorized in hearts. Because it's existent without the knowledge of it, it doesn't benefit. Same as what happened to the Jew and Christian in their Bibles. And this has indication that the knowledge meant with it the practicing. Because humility is a practicing as a fruit of the knowledge and faith. And Abu Darda reported that the first thing will be going away from people quickly. Previously mentioned. And this about humility. And also in the early generation, they never mentioned the person is jurist knowledgeable unless he is a man of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many hadiths in the two Sahih, Bukhari and Muslim, and others, that the knowledge going away of knowledge is one of the condition of the end of times and beginning of Day of Judgment. As it's reported via Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, saying, يَدْرُسُ الْإِسْلَامِ كَمَا يَدْرُسُ وَشْيُ الثَّوْبِ. The Islam will go away as a design of a cloth goes away. Till people don't know what is fasting and what is prayer, and what is Hajj and what is charity, and the Book of Allah will be taken in a night, and nothing on earth will remain, even a single verse. Reported by Ibn Majah, Al Hakim, and its chain is sound. And of course, this will be after the death of our Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Jesus, after he come down and he died, then this will happen. Again, this will come in details in the section of the signs of the Day of Judgment. Allahu alayhi, inshallah. I say comment here. Somebody was talking about the early people who went to Muslims who migrated to America, maybe in early 1920s in the last century, and they have children there. Some of them raised to be high rank in the bone business, medicine, one of like top 10 or something. So one man was writing history about early Muslims in America, so he kept searching for this family. and went and met this doctor. So he went and visited him in Ramadan. So when the man entered his office and asking him, your father came safe from Lebanon and blah, blah, blah. Then he brought him, the doctor brought drink for him since he's his guest. So he said, no, I'm fasting. I don't drink now. He said, oh, my father used to do this thing you're doing. As if he doesn't know what his fasting is and the Islamic principle, but he has a kind of like feeling, you know. I think he said my grandfather used to do these things you're talking about. Okay, that he doesn't know it, nor he practices it. Now we go to the next section. ذم الإفتاء بالعلم. It is bad to give verdict without knowledge. And the knowledge has to be referenced to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abi Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever gave verdict without knowledge, his sin, whosoever is given a verdict without knowledge, his sin will be upon he who gave him the verdict. And whosoever tell his brother about something, and he knows the righteousness in others, indeed he has cheated him. Reported by Darimi al-Bukhari in the unique manners, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah in his introduction, Al-Hakim, and its chain is fine. Al-Hakim and Ibn Al-Hakim judge it authentic according to Bukhari and Muslim, and also agreed upon by Al-Zahabi. So this shows us that how disliked that you were forbidden to give fatwa without knowledge. And whatever based on that, from this ignorance, the sin of those who will give them the false verdict will fall upon him. And also indicate that the person has to be sure before he give verdict and search for the truth and put a lot of effort to bring the authenticity, which is in keeping with the arguments and the principle of the religion of knowledge. And also show the importance of giving the right advice for Muslims, otherwise will be considered a traitor, a person who will do otherwise. And it is, and via Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, via the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Moses, the Prophet, stood to deliver khutbah in the children of Israel. So he was asked, who is the most knowledgeable person? He said, I am. So Allah blamed him because he didn't reference the knowledge to Allah by saying Allah knows best. So Allah, by saying Allah knows best, this is a statement clearing the statement from me. From Ahmed Darwish. So I go back. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blamed him that he didn't reference the knowledge to him. So Allah revealed to him that the worshipper of my worshippers, where the two seas meet, is more knowledgeable than you. Reported by Bukhari and Knowledge and Anbiya and Explanation and Muslim in the virtue and the virtue section regarding the virtue of Al-Khadr, the green man, which was mentioned in the cave chapter. His story was Moses. Reported by Tirmizi in an explanation, and it will come in the section of prophets, in the explanation section of these book series. So he's more knowledgeable than you means he has knowledge that you don't have. And this hadith showed the dislikeness for who doesn't reference the knowledge to Allah the Mighty, the Glorified, by saying Allahu A'lam, and by saying I don't know. So whosoever is asked about something he doesn't know, he should say I don't know, and say Allah knows best. And more research about this will be in the chapter of Prophets. And Sheikh Talidi, in a book called Al-Ibar, he detailed this small booklet. Ahmed Darwish added, the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, when the Prophet used to ask them question, or they ask one another, they say Allah and his Prophet knows best. Inshallah. We will stop here, and the next one will be, the next recording will start with what is revealed regarding, what is reported regarding to study the language of other than Arab for a religious need. Hada wa billahi tawfiq, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.